Hey, Little Monsters.
Hey, group.
What's going on, man? Welcome to Little Monsters Movie Podcast. Yeah, that's the movie we're doing right there.
Did you do your homework?
Reanimator. 1985.
He says he doesn't
like it. I didn't say I didn't like it. I'll give it a C, okay?
Oh. But Lovecraft.
He's a bigger fan than I am.
Although, big Lovecraft fan.
I mean, I'm not saying I'm not a fan. It's a good movie. It's a great movie. But
you know, even Lovecraft fans aren't always crazy about this movie. I guess, I mean, are you familiar with Lovecraft? I know your brother was.
Right. My brother a little bit more than me, but
Call
yeah.
of Cthulhu. Mm-hmm. I mean, they've made lots of movies based on him. Mostly the guys that made Reanimator have made a lot of movies. Reanimator is from 1985. God, you know, like 84, 82 to 85.
Return of the Living Dead was 85, too. I don't know how we're doing this, but it just came out of our head. We're getting years right in a row here. We did three from 87, I think, something like that. Now 285. We'll see.
So they did this film. They did another film called From Beyond. I don't know if you've ever seen that.
I don't think I've seen that. I've heard of it. But
he's done other. Yeah. There's been other Lovecraft films. Lots of them. Lots of people try Lovecraft. He's very hard to adapt into a film. This is probably the easiest one. A lot of his. The horrors that are in his story are unnameable and unspeakable.
Yeah,
you can't pronounce the names. And, you know, they're always colors that we've never seen before and things like that. So,
cool.
It's a little hard, but even really, like, hardcore Lovecraft fans, this is based on a story called Herbert West Reanimator.
Okay. And, well, hold on. Sorry.
What's that?
Before we start, I just want to let everybody know and put it out there before I interrupted them, but, Well, there's a little thing down here now in the corner. Hit that red box and you can subscribe to us on YouTube. So it makes it a little bit easier because the more people we got subscribing, it just comes right up, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And please remember, if anybody is listening to us on iTunes, please leave us some feedback so we can get higher up on the list. We're doing great. We got a lot of listeners from all over the world, Germany, everything. I think I told you guys this before. But it means a lot to hit that rating, give us stars, give us some feedback on all our platforms.
It'd be nice to go on YouTube, type in Little Monsters, and just Movie Podcast shows up.
There
I still
you
have
go.
To type the whole damn thing out.
Yeah. But if you go to the website, you know, www.thelittlemonstersmoviepodcast.com, everything's on there. So that's the only place you need to go when you get on Twitter, Facebook, Google.
We'll put pictures of
everything.
Us from around town.
Oh, we'll eventually update it all.
But celebrity sightings.
Yeah, I just wanted to throw that out there because, you know, the more feedback we get, the better things go. And we plan on going nowhere. You know, this is going to grow and grow and grow. So we're
so
committed.
They run out of horror movies.
Which ain't ever going to happen. But anyways, H.P. Lovecraft.
Right.
I didn't mean to interrupt
no,
you.
No, it's no problem.
But,
it's based on the story Herbert West, Reanimator. And it's told, like, I think in 5 or 6 parts. It was serialized in magazines.
Yeah, as last week we went zombie, we're kind of reanimated
still.
Corpse too here.
Right,
so
right.
A little bit different, which we'll get into, but...
And, I think the story in the movie... I mean, in spirit, it's there.
Mm-hmm.
But this movie does deviate a lot. It's told from, if I remember the story correctly, I've read it a couple times.
Mm.
It's like, say, our character, Dan Cain, who's the young resident doctor.
Right.
Who takes up with Herbert West. If I remember correctly, the story is kind of like told from that character's perspective. It's not...
In the book.
Right, in the book.
Okay.
I don't think we ever get a name for him.
Like this crazy doctor came and moved in with me and rented a room, but which we'll get to. But,
the movie takes almost all the stuff that happens in the movie, the details, the plots, the subplots, aren't really in the book.
Huh.
But the whole, you know, the Herbert West, the reagent...
The premise. Yeah, the movie is still there.
A lot of the spirit is there.
Okay.
The black comedy kind of thing, and this is so black. And this is just one of those movies that push the boundaries.
Yeah,
of,
it's different.
What you could put on a movie screen. There's a handful of movies like that. There's Night of the Living Dead, maybe Dawn of the Dead.
Yeah.
Maybe Exorcist, just, you know, especially if you're religious, Exorcist was
pretty
freaky.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just movies that have, and then we got into, like, the torture porn thing later on, and just, you know,
the boundaries of exploitation and all that kind of stuff came. Yeah.
So it seems like when they were making this movie, it was just like more. You know, less is not more. More is more.
Right.
So
yeah.
That's yeah. it. But I mean, I remember this movie. I didn't see it in the theater. I was too young. I don't think they would have let me in. But
this movie's got some gore to it. Mm-hmm. I mean, without a doubt, you know,
not for the kids. My daughter kept asking me if she could watch the movie.
No.
Like, you'd have to cover your eyes for, you know, 2/3 of the movie.
Right, and yeah, and I didn't know which were, because this is actually I did see it many years ago, but it was so long ago I didn't remember most of even the scenes that were coming up in the movie.
I've had this movie on VHS, had it on DVD a couple times on DVD, Blu-ray. Whatever format there is, I'm buying this movie. It's just one of the movies I'm buying. And
Ted just comes home from a long day at work, presses play, and
it's Reanimator.
Yeah, goes all day, night long.
You know, I remember the first time I saw it was a fella down the street used to, back in the
80s.
He had 2 VCRs that he could make copies. All right, he would dub copies. It was amazing back then. And that's where I first saw it. I had a dubbed copy.
Okay.
And, you know, I would rent it later.
So as a young gentleman, you... You all right?
Yeah.
So as a young gentleman, that's why Ted always needs a drink, just to let you know.
Talk so much.
There's a lot of vodka in there, too. But
it's almost reagent colored.
Yeah, a little bit. We couldn't get nothing toxic enough color-looking.
I really wanted to.
And we wanted the syringe, but anyways, yeah.
I was going to inject him.
Anyways, you went down the street to a guy's house and your parents didn't care?
It was just neighbor. No, he would lend us tapes.
Times have changed.
My mom is friends with his mom and then
I'm joking.
I remember he did a cool thing where he edited Halloween and Halloween 2 together and cut out all the credits and stuff, just like it was one big movie. I remember that. I thought it was like a big 3-hour movie.
Kind of cool to have a neighbor like that.
Yeah,
you know, introduce you.
He was an electronics guy. I think he worked in electronics, and that's what he did for us.
Cool.
And then I remember like renting it at the corner video store. And, but then there's 2 versions of this movie on videotape. There was the uncut version, which the mom and pop stores had, and then like if you went someplace like Blockbuster, they actually had like the R-rated cut version.
Okay.
And it actually had an extra scene in it. I know I'm jumping all ahead here, it actually had an extra scene in it that I think on the DVD and Blu-ray, it's in the deleted scenes because I remember it, but that was always kind of funny because I never liked to rent things at Blockbuster because I never had unrated versions.
Yeah.
So I would always...
Ted is very picky, and he's actually turned me into that way, too. I kind of very picky about those films, too. Heck yeah.
You know,
you need those little tidbits. They make a difference.
You know, 85, it was directed by Stuart Gordon, who's gone on to be a big horror director. A lot of H.P. Lovecraft adaptations, starring Jeffrey Combs, who I think horror fans know Jeffrey Combs from, again, a lot of Lovecraft movies, but a lot of other movies, too, and he's awesome in this movie.
He's...
Herbert West. Jeffrey Combs.
Right, Herbert West.
Like, even if you've seen, he's even been in modern things, too. I mean, you know, I remember he had a good part in The Frighteners. Did you ever see The Frighteners?
Yeah.
Peter Jackson's movie. And then Barbara Crampton, love interest. Doesn't look as good in this movie as she does in The Evil Clergyman, which is a little half-hour movie, but she's still very cute.
Yeah, very cute.
And I can't remember the fellow's name that plays Dan Cain.
And there's a scene where they throw her, oh my God, when we get to that scene... We'll talk about that. Wow.
Yeah,
I know what you're talking about with pushing the boundaries on a few things.
Yes.
It's just like...
Not just gore, just things that you could put up on a screen, and they just went nuts. Oh. The movie cost about $1 million to make. It certainly made its money back.
Yeah.
And it's one of those cult classics. It's just, you know, it's a movie that has stuck with a lot of fans.
Yeah.
There's just a handful of movies like that. We've done Return of the Living Dead and
The Blob.
And things like that. You know, Blob's like a cult classic, but Return of the Living Dead is really highly regarded.
Yeah.
This movie's highly regarded, I think.
Yeah.
And the Pantheon.
Yeah, we've been doing some of these 80s cult classic
type movies.
Well,
they're important.
Oh, they are. And I think it's just because of the generation we brought up. I mean, it doesn't take away anything from us not loving actually were probably bigger fan, well, I am, of the black and white horror movies.
What do I keep saying? We need to do some black and white.
We're trying to get some of the you know, more popular stuff out there right now, but we're going to dive into some of the older stuff eventually.
We like a lot of obscure stuff, and
we'll get to them.
This is not necessarily indicative of everything we like.
No, there's a lot more.
When we did Island of Lost Souls, which was just audio, we didn't have video then.
Right.
That's really indicative of the stuff I really get into.
Yeah.
I'm really passionate about.
Exactly.
But this is definitely a movie I probably watch it 2-3 times a year. And
I say we'll even throw in a new movie here or there that we see. So it we'll mix it up.
Yep.
But anyways, where do we start with the movie?
Well, the movie starts off in Switzerland.
Switzerland.
And we don't really know what's going on, but there's some ladies.
Dr. Gruber.
Hans Gruber's in there. Hans Gruber, he's in there. Excuse me. And he's you hear screams.
Yeah.
The police come, or security, whatever, they break down the door. And
Herbert West has got that needle,
that syringe, right
on the floor, with Dr. Gruber, right?
Right.
He's on the ground.
Yeah. And they say something like, you know, they're blaming him. Obviously, it looks bad. But then Dr. Gruber gets up, and Herbert West, Jeffrey Combs, is you know, Dr. Gruber, can you hear me? Can you talk to me? And he just starts going nuts. You know, blood's coming out from the pores
and his eyes.
However, they did that with little bladders or squibs or whatever. It was just so awesome. The eyes pop out and blow, and blood just goes everywhere.
Yeah.
And then I think the lady says something. There's a lady there screaming and says something to Dr. West. You know, you killed him. He's like, no, I didn't. I gave him life.
And, yes.
You know, this is like a almost like a Frankenstein kind of story.
A little bit, yeah. Even though he's a little bit more evil of sorts. I mean, he
reminds me of...
He'll go to killing in order to bring them back.
He reminds me of Peter Cushing's Dr. Frankenstein, in that it's just the work that is most important. Everything else is like a means to an end.
Right.
You know?
He really thinks he's got something going here.
Right. And whatever down and dirty thing you have to do to get that fresh corpse to prove that your theory is correct, and we saw Peter Cushing do that plenty of times in the old hand.
Even though I hate to say it, Herbert West, his theory really wasn't going nowhere. It wasn't working. But, I mean,
you know what? He just didn't get it just right.
Well, and he did not get it just right.
Fortunately, the one that was the most successful was the disembodied head. That was probably the most successful.
You know what? Yeah.
You know, as far as like keeping his wits and everything.
Smart,
which we'll get to.
Yeah.
So that's how the movie starts, and then it goes off into a really colorful opening credits scene with diagrams of eyes and brains, and it was like anatomically correct diagrams.
Right.
And then you get that little taste of that music. It's got that little theme that comes on there, and it's playful. It kind of tells me when I'm watching it not to take it too seriously.
Yeah.
It's like, a little clarinet playing. It's almost like a comedy thing to me.
I hear you, yeah. It's got a bit of that atmosphere to it.
And that's how the movie's got to be. You can't take it too seriously.
Right. They're trying to be serious. I mean, this is kind of a dramatic, even though there's a couple parts in it that'll crack you up.
They all play it straight.
Oh, yeah.
And that's what makes it great.
The cat scene's one I will get to that just cracked me up.
And then,
but anyways, you know what I mean?
Everybody will know that if you've seen it.
Yeah.
And then we go to Arkham, Massachusetts, which is a made-up city that H.P. Lovecraft, all you Arkham Asylum fans, that's H.P. Lovecraft.
Yes.
And he uses that city in other stories. And, and then it's Miskatonic University. That's... Anytime there's like a medical school or a university in an H.P. Lovecraft story, it's always this Miskatonic University. It doesn't exist.
Yeah, you got to be an H.P. Lovecraft film to.
So if you know that,
to pick up this kind of stuff.
But. It's the medical school.
Yeah.
And I think it starts off where there's a code situation, which ironically I was involved in today. I actually did chest compressions on someone today.
Oh.
That's right. And that's exactly what Dan Kane, resident doctor, young doctor, trained.
Well, wait a second. You had to bring somebody. Did you bring him back to life? Was it a cold?
Stabilized him and he went to the unit. To intensive care unit. After that, I don't know.
So you did your job.
I did my job.
I mean, he is in the medical field and we do fool around in our laboratory here, Phone going off.
I silenced mine.
It happens, people. It's a podcast. It's we're filming it live.
I'm gonna have to ask you to leave the podcast.
First time
your
that's
house,
happened.
But
but anyways, well, cool. Anyways, well, yeah, we'll get.
So he's doing the same
Dan
thing.
Dan Cain. Yeah,
and you know his training doctor, his doctor in training is telling him, you know they shock her. It's an elderly lady, I think, and. He tells him to give up. You know, it's done. You know,
yeah.
Call it.
He didn't want to give up.
You know, he's that young doctor. He's ambitious, and you know, we just need a little bit more time. Circulate the drugs, and you know, he's doing everything he can. And she tries to take him aside and says, "A good doctor knows when to, you know, call it."
Yeah.
So, of course, nobody knew that today. Well, we worked on that guy for a long time. But
wow,
hope he's okay.
Wow.
I don't even know his name. Hope you're okay.
Yeah.
Thing
that gets me, yeah. Well, then he goes and he takes him down to the morgue,
right? Which I'm going to tell you something.
No, I'm probably going to say the same thing. I'm going to say, well, he's a medical student, and the smell of death and everything else, everything involved around this disgusts him.
Yeah,
I mean, he's like, oh my god, turning his head, going, oh, you can tell he's smelling stuff and going, oh, this stinks.
Well, listen, I work in a hospital. You never see a doctor pushing a body down to the morgue.
Well, that's true, yeah. But he is a student, so...
But he's a doctor. He actually has the letters MD after his name. He's just in his residency. He's in medical school. He's
right.
Working on his MD. He's working in a hospital.
Maybe
in medical school is a different story. I don't know. But,
okay.
You know, in a hospital setting,
yeah.
You know, they got people who do that. And actually, it's kind of funny how... When they're taking it down, you know, the toes hanging out. He's, you know, all in front of people. Actually, in the hospital, they have a neat thing. It's a gurney.
Mm-hmm.
You put the body on there.
Yeah.
And then there's like a covering that goes over the body.
Right.
And then you put a sheet over that, so it just looks like it's a gurney that's just maybe up a little higher. You know, the average person walking down the hallway that you're pushing this cart in front, you know, they don't know that you've got a body there. So, but this is the 80s. Maybe they didn't have that then.
Sticking
out was okay.
Well, the stuff in the morgue, like when you just take the gurney, the table into the actual morgue room,
like the cooler.
Yeah, the cooler where all the dead bodies are. He pushes it in
place.
When he
says, and he goes in there, oh, full house.
Full house, and there's a leg sticking in it, or a leg or arm sticking off the table.
There's an arm that he kind of moves a little.
But it's all like decomposing.
Oh, yeah.
Like it's either burned victim. I don't know.
Blood balls, I think.
Yeah. But he goes, you know, he pushes it aside like he's disgusted. But first of all, you know, arms and legs aren't supposed to be hanging off the sides of these tables.
Sometimes bodies move.
Somebody's not doing their job. Yeah, he did put it back and it flipped back and it just like kind of moved around it.
Like we learned in last week's movies, you know, sometimes those bodies pop right back up.
Yeah.
You gotta work that rigor mortis out.
Depending how long the body's been dead, I mean, the body parts maybe did move or something, but yeah.
And he notices when he goes in there, a couple of doctors working, I don't know if it's an autopsy, there's a doctor, Dr. Hill. He's one of the instructors.
Okay, is that the main doctor?
The evil
doctor. Hill. Yeah, yeah.
And he's responsible for he's responsible for getting the school a lot of grants.
Yeah.
And
so he has the ability to do whatever he wants there.
So he's developing this new laser drill, and they show him using that there.
Oh, and I got to tell you, this disgusted me.
What?
I don't know why, but the laser into the skull, and the whole, and then he takes the Q-tip.
Oh yeah, it makes
puts
a hole,
Q-tip
puts it in there,
all the way down to the brain part, and just pulls it out.
Awesome.
That's so good. I mean, I used to be more of the blood and gore kind of stuff, but stuff like that just gets to me, man. Now
this movie.
And yeah, that was kind of disgusting.
But that part's actually, there's so much of.
Well, a lot of you might love that. But, you know, I'm just saying me, that's all. But
so
it is a cool scene.
Is cartoony.
Because the rest of all the dead victims, too, you even see in the gurneys, he's done that to all of them. And they made sure to put that little indentation where it went in on every single dead body that reanimates or whatever you
want
to say later on. So, yeah.
Well, which we'll get to. So, Dan. He's kind of watching Dr. Hill for a moment, and then the dean of the medical school
I can't remember his name.
You know how you do that? You'll watch a movie all these times, and just...
Hey, just because you've seen it 1,000 times, don't think
you
need to
remember
everybody's
name.
So, you know.
And he introduces Dan to Herbert West, who is, you know, a new student coming over from Switzerland, and he mentions to Dr. Hill, you'd be interested in this, he worked with Dr. Gruber. And this is where Dr. Hill and Herbert West have their first interaction.
Yeah, confrontation. They don't like each other.
Well, he tells them, you know, you. Oh, he's like, oh, yes, Dr. Hill, I know your work very well, in fact. And it's like, you know, it's very derivative of Dr. Gruber. And what do you say, like, in Europe, it's almost considered plagiarized. And
right.
He tells him his theories on brain death.
Yes.
And the location of the will.
It goes, what, 12 seconds?
Or he says 6 to 12 minutes.
And right, okay.
6 to 12.
Well, he said 12, then he said 6.
6 to 12.
Yeah.
And, you know, because, you know, Dr. Gruber and Herbert West, they've pushed the boundaries of that, as we're going to find.
Right.
And Herbert West is kind of carrying on the work.
Yeah, so that's the scene where you kind of figure out that they're not going to get along together yet.
And Herbert and Dan are introduced. Right. Nothing big happens between them.
No.
But
the love interest or the girlfriend's...
Right, the girlfriend's going
to flip to her.
She is actually the daughter of the dean of the medical school who introduced Herbert West to Dan. And the scene is him posting a note. He's got like a house apartment kind of thing. He wants to share it.
Yes.
Because
rent a room, you put it on the board, you know.
Yeah, the board. Classic college stuff.
Yeah.
And, you know, they get together and smoochy smoochy.
Well, this is a scene that come up that I actually...
well, because he starts kind of like mauling her a little bit.
And he goes... And she's like, no. And then they shoot to the scene of them in bed, and she's going, yes.
Love it.
Oh, yeah, it was classic. And then the black cat jumps on his back.
Yep.
And flips off. Yeah. So that was the funny part. And this is where you see her topless, too. So.
She's cute, right? Oh, yeah. She's still cute.
Yeah, dude. Like I said, later on in that scene, when they slap her on the table, but we'll...
Evil clergyman with her and Jeffrey Combs. It's weird. It don't make a whole lot of sense. Sort of based on H.P. Lovecraft.
Some of the best movies I like are like that. Okay.
Oh, and you should see how she looks. Just Google From Beyond and see what she wears in that.
Oh, she's in that too? Okay.
Jeffrey Combs too?
Okay.
Actually, the same guy who made Reanimator made From Beyond.
Okay.
And I would say some of the gore in From Beyond is even more hardcore than this.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
But it's another one that's... I'm sure maybe we'll do it at some point. I think you'd probably feel the same way about that one as you do this one.
Yeah.
But it's cool. Yeah. It's just effects-wise, it's cool. It's a cool idea.
Okay.
And, you know, she's getting... right when they're done. Mm-hmm. I've got to go. She's getting dressed and you know...
She just a booty call with him, you know.
You know, I mean, well, she says, you know, once you get your degree and you're a doctor, I'll marry you, I'll help you, and... It's like, until then, whatevs. You know, why buy the milk when you can get the cow for free?
And this is her. Well, I guess both of them, but whatever.
But I mean, also, you know, he should be careful. This is the dean's daughter.
Right. Yeah.
I guess you got to keep up appearances. So she's getting ready to leave, opens the door, and there's Herbert West. Oh. You know, right about to knock, and she really startles him. And he holds up that little card, you know, that Dan posted about sharing.
About sharing the room,
And he kind of comes into place like he's already decided.
Oh, yeah. It's, where do I... I think he goes straight down to the basement.
Yeah, does this building have a basement?
I don't even think he checks out the bedroom.
No, he's interested.
He goes straight down to the basement and goes, and you know what? The thing is, it looks like just a plain, blah, crappy basement.
Right.
But he is so amazed and he goes... This looks perfect. Yeah, this is everything I need.
Yes.
You know?
Yes, this will be perfect.
And she's freaking out in the background. You can see it on her face. The look on her face.
She doesn't like him at all. I mean, and this is the first time she's met him, and she's already like,
don't.
And she's not coming up.
He pulls out a lot of money, though.
And what did he say? He's like, you'll never know I'm here, except on the first of the month. And he pulls out a lot of cash.
Yes.
Now, I mean, Dan's paying for this place by himself. It's like,
right.
You got the money. Yeah, you got the bread. You could stay here.
Right.
And she's like, I think you two have a lot to discuss.
So she's leaving.
I mean, really. I mean, whatever. You take the money.
Yeah, well, what were they going to do? Sit down? I mean, I know why she left. I mean, she didn't want no part to do with this crazy guy. And, you know, what were they going to do? Sit down and have some pizza and pop and talk things over?
Maybe.
Because Herbert West seems a little...
he is. He's cracked.
But he gave him a chance to say, I'll give you the room because of the money. So, you know.
But he's kind of like that. You know, a lot of those geniuses are sort of like that. They all got those idiosyncrasies. And So they decide Herbert's going to live with Dan.
Yeah.
And
then they pop back to the what?
School, like they're in class.
School, yeah. Oh, and I love this, how he explained, how he just... He's explaining it to a bunch of students.
Yeah, it's a live anatomy lesson about the brain with a human cadaver. You know, like, say someone's donated their body to science. I can't ever imagine doing that with myself.
No.
Like, my wife says she could. Like, yeah. She would think about doing that.
Yeah, okay.
I'm just like... Nah.
But yeah,
but I want to be like, you know, Viking burned on a boat and sent out.
Oh, yeah,
that's
yeah.
What I want.
Simpler.
You think my wife will do that for me? Probably not. So, yeah, I mean, it's, you know.
Scalpels he lifts the head up, scalpels from the, because you got to get the skin first.
The fascia.
And he cuts it and.
Pulls it off, exposing the skull.
Yeah, from the behind the skull.
What does he say? It's like peeling a large orange.
Yeah.
Which is exactly what they would probably say in class.
Yes. Because it doesn't affect them. I mean, there's people like that. It just doesn't affect.
Well, you know, after you've seen it for a while, yeah. I mean, I work in a hospital setting. I'm not going to say everything that I do or whatever, yeah. But. You do get used to certain things.
Right, right.
Get used to sick people, get used to bodies. And,
yeah.
But that doesn't bother me as much as it would bother someone who's never been around it. I mean,
like me, I'm not around it. Oh, yeah,
I've
see.
Done it, so.
It would bother me, I guess, a little bit. But yeah, I mean, he peels his skin back from the scalp, brings the saw out.
He takes the bone saw.
Expose the brain.
Remember that bone saw. Yeah, and then, you know, there it is. And he
he's
pulls out
the brain.
And he starts to talk about the location of the will. Mm. And that's when Herbert, you know, makes his distaste known by snapping his pencil. And interrupts.
That was good. He just snaps the pencil and Dr. Hill knows.
Yep. And then he starts talking about brain death occurs within 6 to 12 minutes. And he repeats it again, looks at Herbert. 6 to 12 minutes. And then snaps his another pencil. And
it's a great scene, yeah.
He dismisses class. They were about to talk about something else, and he's so angry at West. Mm-hmm. He dismisses class, and he's like, you know, Mr. West, I suggest you get yourself a pen. And like, I love when he dismisses class, like Herbert just like challenges him right away.
Yeah.
You know, how can you teach them this? You're closing their minds before they've had a chance. They're here to learn. And, you know, I mean, it's like he's the only one who knows about this stuff, you know? No one else knows.
But I do like it towards the end when everything starts going down where Dr. Hill is like, oh, which we'll get to.
Right.
He's like, oh, okay.
That's crazy after
all. You know, I could see what you're saying.
So that's kind of cool right there that, you know, that's going to make them kind of like mortal enemies in this movie. And, you know, just that challenge, you know, that's one thing you go, you know, just go and challenge your teacher right in front of all the classmates. Not if you want a good grade. Yeah. And he even says, you know, it'll be a pleasure failing you. Like, it doesn't matter what you do, I'm going to fail you.
Oh, terrible.
Yep.
Yeah. But then we go back to,
I think they're having dinner.
They're having dinner, yeah. A little bit of small talk going on.
Yeah, with Dr. Hill, the dean, and Bart, or not Bart, okay. Meg.
What?
Is that her name in the movie,
Meg. I don't know. Okay, anyways, they're all sitting there talking.
Yeah, they're sitting there talking. And she's going to go study with Dan. And there's actually a little bit of talk there, you know. Like, you could just tell Dr. Hill, the way he's looking at her, you know, he's got eyes for her. And we're going to find that that's a little thing later on. But I know there's even some deleted scenes of that dinner where he really says some bad things about Dan, that he's not moral enough to be a doctor and stuff like that.
Oh, my God. Was that in the uncut or Blu-ray? Or
no, that was just an extra scene. The deleted... I don't want to jump too much yet. When we get to the part, I'll talk about...
Okay.
Because I remember renting it at Blockbuster, and it had a part in it that I never saw. And... Because, you know, what happened it was because there was a point where I got two VCRs, like when I was a teenager, and I was going to make a copy of a Reanimator, because back then tapes were still really expensive to buy, and the mom and pop shop by me had closed down, and so, because all these Blockbusters popped up, it was all Blockbuster, and then, like, Hollywood Video, you know, when we went to Beware, it was like a mecca.
Oh, my God.
You know, Beware Video, this... Stuff like Reanimator, that's all they had. They had a Vincent Price section. They had a Bigfoot section.
Stuff you wouldn't find anywhere but there.
Yeah.
I mean, without a doubt.
Movies that people just made. Horror movies that people made on video.
Yeah, that there's just one copy of. They would actually have
some of those. Yeah,
we did some of those. A couple of them were very cool, very interesting.
You know, you wouldn't go there to find, you know, Die Hard. you know.
No.
You'd go there to find Mask of the Red Death that we did, you know, a couple weeks back.
Or Johnny came home and died or something, you know.
Something bizarre.
Yeah, just
I
odd
got a movie. I can't remember what it was called. Incubus.
Okay.
And it was in a language called Esperanto, which I don't believe is like a real language.
No.
And it had William Shatner.
Really?
William Shatner speaking that language.
Okay.
Yeah. Wow. It was awesome. It was. I remember.
They closed down way too soon.
Yeah.
We didn't get a chance to see as many movies as we really wanted to.
I think
to.
Some guy came and maybe like bought up all the tape, like offered them for their collection or
well,
something.
Well, they had a flood that happened, I remember.
Mm-hmm.
And
oh,
some
yeah,
of their stuff got
ruined.
And they just ended up leaving the place. But anyways,
horrible.
We're getting away from the movie.
Yeah,
and
but then I ran into from Blockbuster, right? There's this part I never saw before. So, but we'll get to it. So, yeah, they're studying at Dan's place. And Dan ain't, you know, study is...
No, he wants to get it on.
Get it on.
And
she's actually got a book, and she's like, you know, she's just uncomfortable. Dan, no! Stop it!
Because Herbert West is there now, and
right, he's not in the house at that time.
Right.
But his presence. Whatever.
Right, right.
It's lots of little things. That's what women like to say.
Oh, and I love that. I love that they just can't find the cat. They're like, where's Rufus? Usually he's out here bothering us and stuff. And that's when she goes off looking for Rufus. They both do.
Right.
And she ventures to
Herbert's room.
Herbert West's room.
He's got like a little college refrigerator.
Yeah, she opens it up. She goes
right
in.
Kind of like half open.
Was it? Okay.
Yeah, it was like half open, and she noticed the neon green, which we'll come to know.
Mm.
And the door opens a little bit more, and there's a horribly dead cat laying right there.
It's Rufus.
And
yeah.
She screams. Dan comes in, and then there's Herbert. You know, I thought I was renting a private room, and I love his excuse for, you know.
Oh,
we know darn well what he did with that cat.
That excuse was awesome.
You know,
he got in the garbage and put his head in a can and
or
suffocated.
A jar, yeah, got his head stuck in a jar and suffocated.
You got
it. I didn't want you.
Me.
What did he say? I didn't want you to find him like that. I know you're
right.
Fond of him. I didn't want him smelling up the place.
Yeah, I wanted to give you a little bit
he
of
says,
time.
Couldn't
before
I called
you.
Or left a note? What would a note say, Dan? Cat's dead. Details to follow.
Yeah. Oh my God.
And then they show, you know, well, what's this bottle? You're like, that's none of your business.
Yeah.
And I mean, he's always got something. He's like, just as it's none of my business what you two are doing. He's like, I'd hate to see someone, you know, bright like yourself, you know, be kicked out of school on moral grounds.
Right. Oh,
and
boy.
This is all Herbert's plan.
Yeah.
Because when they were introduced, he's introduced to Dan as one of the brightest students at Miskatonic. You know, and I think he knows. He needs some assistance with his
work.
I'll
tell you, this Dan don't come across as one of the brightest students, but
no,
whatever.
No.
Maybe their standards are low at this college.
I mean, we didn't see how any of the other doctors do.
I know.
Like in Scrubs, we were like that one guy that all his patients died, and he ended up working in the morgue.
Oh, man.
Doug. His name was Doug in Scrubs, I think.
Yeah, yeah. One of your favorite shows, I remember
well,
you saying at the
hospital,
time. Yeah.
Scrubs is... It's a lot like that.
Yeah.
It really is. Ugh. And so Dan's woken up by a horrible screeching scream.
Yeah, sound.
And he grabs his baseball bat, throws a shirt on, and
tries to get in
Herbert's
room,
which is
locked. And then I think he hears again.
It's coming from the basement.
It's coming from the basement.
And that's where he goes.
And this is a great scene
this
that we're going to come up to.
This is one of the best parts of the movie.
It is one of the best parts of the movie, yeah. Oh, my God.
He gets down there, and Herbert's got the cat on his back, and
he's flailing around.
It's blatantly fake.
Yeah, with a fake cat on his back. It looks like a Saturday Night Live skit.
Yeah.
Okay? He's flip-flopping around.
But Dan falls down the stairs.
Oh, yeah. That's actually a good part of the scene.
That's a great fall.
Yeah.
His own stunt work.
Because when he does open up that door, he's tumbling down, and you can tell when he hit the... at the bottom, and then it goes down to again.
Mm-hmm.
You can tell he would have stopped there, but I think the director made him
keep going.
Yeah, so you could see him actually make himself go farther. So it was like kind of really not a goof, but you could tell what was happening. It was kind of funny.
He's like, "Dad, get it off me!"
Oh,
and
they're fighting to get the cat off.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you know, he throws it off, and you can't see where the cat went. But
it's
got the croquet mallet.
Yeah.
Dan's got the and in the meantime, the lights are going back and forth, and it's just giving that
lockers pushing out and stuff's pushing out.
It's just giving that real eerie sense that you know it's disorienting.
Yeah,
how they're kind of disoriented trying to find the cat. It's,
yeah.
it's kind of making you feel that way. And
this
then it kind of turns up. And,
again,
and, you know, you're
comes
and
out.
I just remember Dan taking the thing and throwing it against the wall. And a big bloody pulpy blob.
Yeah, like a part of a brain is like, you know, just sitting there and it's crawls down like those little gelatin things. Yeah. Oh.
I love it. I just love the cat on the wall part.
Oh.
Kind of remind me of Boondock Saints when they shoot the cat by accident. I don't know if you remember that part.
But. What and what's the cat reminds me of something too. Like, was it on a Conan O'Brien that a cat, like...
I didn't watch Conan O'Brien.
It's like a... It almost like... There's a scene after they throw it up against the wall and stuff, like, where it comes up real close up to the camera.
Right.
And
right.
It, I mean, it's just like a puppet. Like, right. You know, it's just going... Right up to the... Mm-hmm. You know,
well, don't you even love how when the cat's dead, I mean, Herbert's like, you know, look out! And the cat's like, and he starts laughing. Like,
yeah, he thought it was a joke. Yeah. That's his psychotic side that's coming out of it.
Right.
And because he says, look out! And he starts laughing. And the paw's just, like, moving just a little bit.
Right.
And Dan's like, oh, you know.
And so Rufus is dead for what we will find the second time.
Yeah.
And this is kind of like where everything is laid out, like what Herbert is doing.
Mm-hmm.
They're sitting there in the basement at the table, and Rufus is
discussing what's going, you know, what he's been doing.
Right. Yeah. And Herbert's explaining, you know, I have broken the 6 to 12 minute barrier. I've conquered death.
Mm-hmm.
I want you to help me. We can. It's every doctor's dream. We can stop death.
Yeah.
We can stop your death. You'll live lifetimes.
Mm-hmm.
And Dan just doesn't believe it at first. He's like, you know, you did something to him. You know, he was never dead to begin with. He did something.
He's got to prove it to him.
So that's what Herbert says. You know, he picks it up and drops. He's like, do you agree? It's dead now.
Yeah.
And he's like, yeah. And that's where the reagent comes in.
The reagent.
Which you never learn what's in it, what makes up the reagent. It's just something that he and...
It's toxic Mountain Dew.
Is it? It's Mountain Dew. Yeah. It's just Mountain Dew.
When they first came out with it, they mixed it with a little bit of nuclear dye, and that's all they needed.
He got his hands on some of
it. Yeah, it brings him back to life. But
something he and Dr. Gruber worked on, evidently. In Switzerland.
Ugh. Hans Gruber. Air Gruber.
Right, Air Gruber. So, you know, he takes a little bit of... Well, he even says to him, like, you know, the cat's not going to be real happy to see you. You know, it's like, you know, its spine's broken, everything. So he takes a little bit of reagent, a bit of syringe. And I think he uses the same damn syringe on everybody. Everybody's probably catching diseases left and right.
Well, good thing it's a dead corpse, right. You know.
And
so.
He, you know, it has to go into the back of the skull into the brain. And it takes a few seconds, but the cat becomes reanimated.
Yep.
And, you know, obviously it's writhing in pain, and it's, you know, it's horrible. And then I think...
guts are out on the table. It's just a disgusting scene.
But, you know, Dan's a believer now. It's like,
he sees it's
alive.
Yeah.
And I think Meg shows up.
Freaks out.
She happens to show up right then and there.
Yes.
And sees that Rufus is still alive.
And I'm telling you, I love the cat, like, it turned its head towards her, too.
Yeah.
Like, it... Oh, this cat. That's the
poor Rufus.
One of the great scenes of the movie. Yeah.
But then the next scene is where Dan is going to bring these findings to the dean.
Yeah.
And tell him, you know, I've seen it. Herbert West has conquered death. He's, you know, achieved reanimation, I think is what he actually says. And
tells him he's crazy, don't he?
Right. And once you know, I mean, first of all, the dean's not too crazy about this. He says, you know, if any... Dr. Hill doesn't like Herbert, so now kind of like the dean doesn't like Herbert.
Right.
And Dr. Hill's been putting a bug in the dean's ear about that, you know, after he's taken up with, you know, Herbert West. And so basically, in a nutshell, the dean right then and there rescinds his student loan. He won't be able to go to school.
Ugh.
And,
so he's got nothing to lose now to...
He says, you know, if any of our... school equipment was involved in this, you know, I'm going to press criminal charges.
Right.
And he doesn't even want to talk to Herbert. He's like, if you see him, just tell him he doesn't go to this school anymore. And
that's the beginning of
he mentions that Meg saw the cat, and he's like, you know, you got her involved in this, and I think that was the last straw right there. So there it is.
I agree with him, you know, hey, you two are out.
Well, it is an unsanctioned experiment.
I mean,
he shouldn't have gone
to
the dean. He should not have done that.
Yeah.
They.
I would have asked him to show me. If I was the dean, I would have said, hey.
These experiments are nowhere near perfect yet.
Right.
See, every time he's bringing someone back,
yeah.
it's like they're a maniacal lunatic, or they short, you know.
Because he still hasn't got the dosage. Right dosage down.
Right, yeah. Figuring out, you know. And the thing of it is, the longer someone or something is dead, the more, you know, the brain tissue dies, and you're not going to come back the same as you were.
Right.
So, he tells them, you know, we need fresh specimens.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you work in the morgue.
Yeah.
You know, you're the guy that can help me find a fresh specimen. So they sneak down there. We find out that Dan's not even supposed to be working. Like, he was told to be taken off the schedule.
He's got a body and a gurney.
And I love the security guard.
Oh.
I forgot his name, but, you know, he's down there smoking, looking at Boudoir magazine.
Typical security guard.
And I love how he says, I don't know why they put a lock on that door. Nobody wants in and nobody coming out.
The body's in there, man.
Yeah. But he's like, you know, he's got a toe tag body. He's taken down there. And it turns out it's Herbert.
Right.
Herbert in under there, and they're going to look at these bodies for something fresh. So they're looking at all the bodies and, you know, burn victim or whatever.
Yeah.
You know, malpractice, can't touch that one.
Surprised he's getting up the guts to work with him to, you know.
Well, like you said, nothing to lose. I mean, I guess once you've seen it, you know, you've seen what can happen.
Different mindset.
You know, I mean, maybe he's right. You know, maybe there's a way that we can do this. And if you can catch somebody at that moment of death and get them with that reagent, the right dosage, you know, you could potentially keep living.
Right, because it does
very little damage.
Because it does go back to the beginning where he was sympathetic towards the person. He didn't want to give up on that person dying on the table.
Right.
You know, so there's a little bit of sympathy there for the dead from Dan. So
I mean, God, if we could conquer death, how awesome.
Oh, my God. You know? We're getting close, Ted.
Yeah, look at these old people I take care of. So they find a young adult male. Mm-hmm. No physical damage.
Yeah.
It's a John Doe. Nobody's going to miss it.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't really, you know, as far as they know, it's just heart failure. Otherwise, perfectly healthy specimen.
Mm-hmm.
They inject some reagent back of the skull.
Yeah.
And what we also know is in between these scenes, the Dean and Meg show up at the hospital because, you know, she's trying to talk him out of, you know, being mean to him. Don't yell at him. It wasn't his fault. And he's mad at the, you know, some of the other docs up there. The woman doctor, that's actually Stuart Gordon's wife.
No.
She always plays like a doctor.
Yeah.
And from beyond, she plays a doctor, too.
Mm.
And, I specifically told Dr. So-and-so that Dan Kane wasn't supposed to be on the schedule today, but this doctor's in surgery, so she didn't know.
Right.
So he's going to go march down to the morgue. You know, they're overhead paging him. And so they realize, you know, they're recording their experiment on a tape recorder, and the first batch of reagent didn't work, so he increases the dose, Herbert does. And they realize they don't have a lot of time. You know, people, security and whatnot are going to be coming down here.
Yeah, they're going to,
The body awakes.
And it starts flipping out.
Right.
Yeah.
And I do like, kind of like how we had in Return of the Living Dead last week, the back is all bruised and purpley. I mean, there's attention to detail there, like the blood settling.
The makeup, and it was pretty good.
Some really
cool
stuff with that.
And well, basically a big naked guy running around, throwing these guys against the wall and stuff
blood
like that.
It's always like blood coming out of the mouth. Like, you can tell they're just in pain. And he's not, I mean, he's responding when they say things to him, but...
Right.
Like Dan says there, you know, he responds like, you know, an animal would. You know, he's not.
Yeah,
he's not thinking
This one did not work very well either.
No.
And then what happens is the Dean shows up, right?
Yeah.
And
Dean Halsey. I think that's what I said, Halsey.
Yeah, I think that's what it is.
And he comes in there.
The reanimated guy, corpse, kills him.
Yeah, just basically bursts down the freezer door.
Yep.
On top of Dean Halsey.
Mm-hmm.
And just smashes, and you just hear skull crack, and then picks him up, and you know he's trying to hold him back, bites his finger off, and he's just picking him up and throwing him against the wall.
Oh my God, yeah.
And I love, you know, Dan's trying to help, whack, gets knocked
out. Sick, bloody scene.
And who comes to the rescue? And Herbert West. I just like, he smashes open a cabinet, and he's like, Dan, move out of the way. Bone saw.
Yes.
And just right through the chest, through the heart.
Oh, man.
It's awesome. But basically, you know, Dean Halsey is dead.
Yeah.
And what's the first thing Herbert thinks? you know, it's like, apart from killing somebody ourselves, this is the freshest we're going to get.
Right.
So come on, help me get him up on the cart.
Immediately, let's reanimate. So,
And he even gets kind of goofy. Like, he's like, he probably just wasn't fresh enough.
like a psychotic Frankenstein, Dr. Frankenstein. He's going crazy because he wants to get it perfect and bring this, and now he's got the freshest corpse there is. So,
apart from killing ourselves, this is the freshest we're going to get.
And this one, you know, he does seem a little bit more.
Right, so they administer the reagent to him. And I love Herbert. He's just like, Dean Halsey, welcome back from the dead. You did me the favor once of letting me into your school. I've given you life again. And
thank you very much.
And this one is a little better, but he has sustained brain damage from the fractured skull.
Right.
They bring him back, and they're kind of starting to master the dosage to bring back a human body.
Yeah, you can tell that. I mean, the fresher the better, but also the dosage and stuff. So yeah,
right. So
very quickly during this movie, they're starting because more bodies are available, bodies because people are dying. So he's able to get fresher bodies and get things going so quicker. So yeah.
So and then basically, after they bring him back, he just it's a big shock.
Yeah.
And he kind of just goes and hides in a corner.
More scared than anything. Right.
And Meg's. They go back to Meg. She's gonna go look for him. And I love how she's sitting on a chair next to a lady that looks like she has no chin.
Oh my god.
And it's someone who's all wrapped up. And it looks like they have no chin. And she's
that is very odd. Yeah. No lower jaw.
Right, that doctor who's kind of keeping an eye on her gets called away, and so she's just going to sneak down to the morgue and try to intervene on behalf of Dan.
Mm-hmm.
So she gets down there, that security guard gets down in there, and again, Herbert's got the story ready.
Yeah, he explains it all.
He came down here. Now, when he does wake up, when Dean Halsey does wake up, he's pretty violent at first. He's grabbing those guys by the throat, throws them down. He sees Meg. She comes in, Daddy! And he kind of goes off, hides in a corner, like I said before.
He's kind of thinking.
Yeah, he's got the
memories there, a little bit there.
Especially with where his daughter is concerned. He remembers that.
Yeah.
And what does Herbert say? Something like, he came down here, he was, spewing, craziness. He took the bones. He's like, he took that thing.
Right. He's blaming it all on him.
Right, yeah. So that gets them off the hook, but they're still going to be kind of questioned.
Well, yeah, because they're wondering why is Dean Halsey acting the way he's acting.
Right, he's like a raving lunatic. Blood coming out of his mouth and...
Until what's the doctor's name?
Dr. Hill?
Yeah, he does a lobotomy, on him, right? Pretty much.
I love how Dr. Hill's office has its own padded room. That he can, with a one-way mirror, that he can watch whatever patient he wants.
Well, he's like one of those, the asylums back in the 20s, 30s. I mean, they had padded rooms. The doctors did whatever they wanted.
Right.
Did the lobotomy. I mean, I know the medical field was different back then.
Sure, sure.
But I think a lot of them experimented just to see.
I wonder if any doctors like that do have, a little room in their office where they can observe somebody.
Oh, I'm sure. I'm sure.
So yeah, they go to Dr. Hill's office, and Dean Halsey's in there, just straight jacket, looking crazy,
looking like a zombie.
Yeah, looking like a zombie. Basically,
he is basically.
He's alive, but
yeah.
And we come to find that Dr. Hill wants to, he feels like he needs to do some kind of experimental brain surgery with the laser drill, and Meg doesn't really want to hear all the details. But
and he's looking at her all pervert he's into her.
I want to be someone you can come to for anything, or when you're lonely. I can't blame him. All right, doing the same thing.
But he's a giant skeleton, Grim Reaper looking kind of dude in the face.
Well, he's old enough to be your dad. It's not what she's looking at. But, he's sitting at his desk with his model of the skull. I'm going to drill a hole here.
She doesn't really want that.
Right.
To happen,
so, she gives the consent and leaves. And then, I like how he's got to have, a couple of really big black orderlies come in to tackle him and take him down so that he can do his procedure on him.
Yeah. And then he's just walking around but, basically
little
like
do
a,
we know, you know, he's got some other plans here. You know, and it's nice to get the Dean out of the way, mm-hmm. and it's just, you know, him and Meg.
Right.
So, and yeah, so this thing's going to be a big lobotomizing event. So, and we find that's what Dr. Hill pretty much likes to do. He likes to lobotomize.
That's what those doctors like to do. Anybody who is crazy.
Right.
Let's just stick that, let's just lobotomize. Right. Him, you know, but.
So, Meg confronts Dan. He's like waiting for her at her house.
Mm.
And when she comes in there, I mean, she's ticked. Yeah. You know, she doesn't. He tells her the truth. He tells her what happened. And she almost can't believe it. You know,
right.
She, I hate you. Yeah. You know, they're done. And
pretty much.
Then this is actually where I remember the deleted scene when I rented this tape at Blockbuster.
Okay.
He goes back to their house, Herbert's house.
Okay.
And he catches Herbert actually injecting himself intravenously with reagent, a watered down kind of version of it, just to keep him awake. Like he never, we find out like he doesn't sleep.
Really?
It's just to keep him awake. I remember watching it on Blockbuster. I had it on a videotape somewhere, I think.
Huh.
It's a deleted scene on the DVD and Blu-ray,
yeah.
But I guess because they cut so much stuff out of the Blockbuster one, they put a deleted scene in there, maybe to make up for it. Because I remember watching, because I had seen the movie a few times before that, and I remember watching, but I don't remember this part.
I could see the reasoning by taking it out.
But yeah, I don't like that. Yeah, I don't like that scene in there, because, you know, it just doesn't make sense that he would shoot himself up with that.
Well, that's why they deleted it. That's why it's a deleted scene.
Yeah, I don't like that was in there. So, I mean, when I was younger, it's kind of like, oh, yeah, it's a part, never saw this before. But looking back at it now, yeah, understanding how movies are put together, that was kind of left out.
Exactly.
So, Herbert's downstairs. So,
in the basement. Yeah.
So, how this is deleted now is Dan's not at the house.
Right.
When you watch that deleted scene, he's there. or was there. And Herbert's there. He's doing a little bit of work. And who shows up, man? Dr. Hill.
Yep. Shows up at the house. And
right?
What doesn't he say?
I want your discovery.
Yes, nice laboratory.
Oh, he sees like the microscope. Oh, Mr. Yes. West, I recognize this.
And he's, looking through the... And doesn't he take a little bit of the reagent and he puts it on the...
He's still working on the dead cat tissue.
Yeah.
And shows him how it'll work.
Right.
So while they're doing that, the way that the movie actually goes is Dan and Meg, they're going to go... And basically, she wants to get her dad out of there. You know, I mean, she's looking... You know, she's afraid of what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
They go into the padded cell, which is kind of dangerous to do, but...
Right.
He won't hurt her, but he sees the mark up there and realize that he's been lobotomized.
Right.
You know, Dan checked, he's like, you know, he did a lobotomy on him.
Yeah.
You know, he didn't do anything to help him.
Yeah.
So, back in the cellar at Dan and Herbert's place, they're... I mean, he blatantly just tells him, I'm going to take your work, you know, and I'm going to get famous off of it. No,
this guy's got some balls.
Yeah, I mean, Herbert gives him the book.
Yeah.
You know, it's not willingly. It's, you know, I love it. You know, he knocks and you
could,
him out.
And you could see the whole time that he's going on, putting a plan together, alternative.
Go grab a blunt object.
Yes, and I'm going to hit you with it.
What does he get? He gets a coal shovel, I think.
Right.
And
perfect thing to hit someone over the head with.
I just love it. One time. Just a coal shovel. Wham!
Home run.
And then, not only that, though, one of my favorite parts of the movie is, you know, he takes it, you know, they don't show it actually going, well, not the first blow.
Yeah.
But then after, you know,
after it hits him, it's
bedded in his throat, and he just takes it and whoop, off goes that.
Yes. He's chopping it. He chops, chops, and then he just, like, wails it and plops
and
it off.
It's just so much blood and just the meat that's hanging off the head when he picks it up.
Yeah, he grabs it by the hair, and carrying it around.
And he puts it, he takes the cat, just throws it.
Yes.
Puts it in the
little
dish pan, surgical pan.
Yeah, cake pan. You
know, it won't stay up. So he takes one of those spikes that you used to use to put memos on.
Yeah, memo. Yeah.
Puts that in there.
This will hold it up.
And I love what he says. He's like, parts. I've never tried to reanimate
parts. Yes. That was a...
And actually, unfortunately, in this movie, this is his downfall. The fact that he did this causes all the bad things that happened to him by the end of the movie.
Right.
If he had just left him dead.
Yeah.
So.
But he wanted to reanimate a head.
So, You know, there's a lesson to be learned there, guys. If you kill somebody, don't reanimate the head.
Yeah, and body at the same
time. Right, don't do that.
I mean, if you do the head, that's fine. Just don't include the body, because
I don't know.
Somehow the head and the body get connected there.
Well, he reanimates the body in the heart. He puts some reagent in the heart. But, I mean, the heart's not pumping anymore. I don't know how that...
But how his thought... I mean, because... The head comes back to life, okay?
Right.
And the body comes back to life, but the whole... And I love when the head's in that thing.
Oh, and he's tapping him with the pencil.
Tapping, yeah, he's just dick, waiting for him to wake up, you know? And his eyes open up in the pan, and he's just looking at him, and it's... Yeah.
And I guess his theory is sort of proved right. Dr. Hill doesn't have any brain damage... So when he is reanimated, all his thoughts and memories are intact.
Yeah, he goes, "Wes,
you bastard."
So he seemed kind of totally with it.
Yes.
To a point, you know. So, yeah, and what happens is in the background, as this is all happening,
the body
starts raising up, and he's keeping it secret, you know. As he's doing it, you can see his eyes moving. It's a very cool scene.
Right. And takes him and just cracks his head. And
the headless body, boom, yep. Herbert West is knocked out.
Pretty much Dr. Hill pretty much stays in that pan. The rest of the movie, the body's just carrying him around.
Yeah, and I'd like to know how he got back to the school.
The body like carried him, I don't know.
The body carried the head in the pan all the way back to the school.
I guess.
Every movie's got to have a little bit of a flaw.
It's fun. It's fun.
And like you said, the music at the beginning. Let's take this with a little grain of salt.
It's a
you know, I mean,
that's how it was. And
because you know,
technically, downplaying the blood in this movie. I think
big time. Yeah,
there's just buckets of it.
There's lots of blood, lots of gore, lots of like we said, let's keep this adult. You know, no kids allowed to watch this movie. But
Herbert gets knocked out. We go back to Dr. Hill's office. You know, we know that her dad has had a lobotomy.
Yep.
Dan's just going through some files. Maybe he can find a clue to something. That's where he comes across Meg's file. Dr. Carl Hill has a file on Meg.
Right.
Pictures, newspaper clippings, I think a little bit of her hair ribbons. Like, he's been obsessed about her since she was like a child.
Yeah, serial killer.
You know, just waiting for his chance.
Yeah. Obsessed.
And she goes in there, you know, to see her daddy again while he's looking through these files.
Mm-hmm.
And like I said,
there's blood on the padded wall.
Oh,
his,
I know.
His shirt's yellowish. You know, it's just a sick scene.
I mean, he's almost like, I kind of take it like he just doesn't want her to see him like that.
Right. And he almost seems embarrassed.
Right?
Yeah.
You know, he doesn't look his best.
Apologize about Ted's little. But you need to bring saline solution too here.
You know what? When
just
I
moisten it all
I
up.
I spend all day like in the hospital. It's all stuffy, and you know you're you know.
I need to get a humidifier for you.
You know what you do? You'll walk into one room.
A vaporizer.
Sorry, I'm going off top here. You'll walk into somebody's room and they've got their you know they give them a little bit of control of the temperature.
Yeah.
It gets nice and cool. You go in another one and they're freeze babies inside. You're going in and out of these rooms all day.
Yeah.
Until I get home and you know really like clean out. You know, back into my environment.
Yeah.
So I'm a little. So forgive me. A little nasally, I'm sorry.
That's all right. I'll just... I will have a thing of saline solution out here. Right. But anyways, go ahead.
The big teapot. Let's do the big teapot.
Yeah. You know what? Yeah, I'll have a little steaming over here.
We'll do it right here on the show.
Why not?
So Herbert wakes up from being unconscious and, you know, my work! My work!
Look at everything. It's all just destroyed.
At that moment, Dan shows up and... He's like, he took my notes, my reagent. He's like, oh, except for the little bit I got upstairs. Thank God for that.
Right. Oh, yeah.
So he's going to use that for his plan.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know. They've got to go after Dr. Hill.
Yep. And I love how they show him back at the school. The body sets his head down in the office. And yeah.
I know. It's awesome. I mean, you know, I guess I kept wondering why the body has to keep re-injecting the head with reagent.
Right.
I don't know. Like, maybe because everything's not connected, maybe the head will die sooner, so maybe he has to keep getting the injections to stay alive.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think they actually explained it.
But I thought it was kind of like a one-and-done deal, but this isn't a whole body.
And doesn't he get... he does actually go and get blood.
Yeah,
and puts it in the
What doctor's got like blood in the fridge? You know, he's got like a little fridge. He's got some units of packed red blood cells in there,
and the body, which is clanking around.
Flavor and stuff. When we have those Tupperware containers of his blood.
Yeah.
And yeah, he's just squirting it in there,
and the heads. He's acting like, oh my god, this is ecstasy. He's doing that. Yeah, he's making noise like he's just like, an ecstasy man. Like,
you don't have a circulatory system,
right?
Nothing.
Somehow it's soaking up,
and it's just a pool of blood. You're sitting, and it's going to congeal. And
once again, lots of blood.
All right, lots.
Yes,
and I love anytime the body has to walk. It's always boom.
Oh yeah,
this stuff. It's all.
It's got no head. I mean, but it does get to where it's got to go.
Picks the head up after he just gave it all that blood. Let's go look at Dean Halsey in there.
Oh, and this is reminiscent of Day of the Dead, when they're the glass window when they got the one captured behind.
Oh, Bub.
Yeah, Bub.
Mm-hmm.
Because he comes close to the glass. And they're both kind of like looking at each other.
Yeah. And
kind of reminiscent to, to me, I guess, but.
And, you got to, those Romero movies, they were good. You got to realize, before Land of the Dead, which came a long time after Day of the Dead, that was like the horror movie trilogy.
Yes.
You know, how many trilogies are there in horror movies that, there's some now, because, but that was the holy trilogy of horror movies.
Yeah.
So,
without a doubt.
Oh,
but I love the next scene too, where
back at the morgue.
Oh,
because Dr. Hill's got a plan. He's got something.
Oh yeah.
He dresses up like a doctor with that fake head on top of the body.
A fake head. It's like taped on with the surgical mask and everything. I don't know how the security guard didn't look at it.
Well, because he's busy looking at a boudoir magazine.
Yeah, he's looking at it. So he's going, man, look at a
little chocolate. He's like, you're going to be in there for I'm going to the bathroom.
Yeah.
And he takes his magazine with him.
He's got some free time.
The head is in the briefcase. Like, he's carrying, like, a duffel bag, bowling bag kind of thing. And the head's in there. And I love the body. He's just opening it up.
The body's getting to where it's got to go.
I don't know how that connection...
Yeah, I don't know. But
that's the part that this is not in the book.
But it works for the movie. I mean, it makes it
fun.
It's horror, so it makes it what it needs to be. But he pulls the head out
back into the pan, and what we're going to find out is that he's going to create like an army of reanimated corpses.
Yes.
And
somewhere along the way, he's injected them all.
Mm-hmm.
But
they never show that in the movie,
right? But the meanwhile, he had Halsey, right?
Mm-hmm.
Dean Halsey, who was in the padded room, go to get his daughter,
right,
and bring her back to him,
right. He wants that,
that's a scene
awesome.
Too, man. I don't know if there's anything else you wanted to say.
No. Let's just get to the good part. So, Dan and Meg.
Yeah,
they're kind of making up a little bit.
Right,
they realize what's going on, and her dad just kind of crashes in. He gets hold of her, and brings her back to Hill. And I love when she's laying on the table.
He throws her up on the surgical table.
The pan is there, full of blood with the head.
And what happens,
and
Ted?
This is her father, and just rips her clothes right off.
Oh,
and she's beautiful.
She's
she's unconscious.
Forget about the horror movie. You just got a beautiful naked lady.
I've seen most of this lady's movies. I think she's very pretty.
Yeah, she's got some C pluses, maybe.
It's not even that.
I don't know.
It's not even that. She's just got a pretty face.
But she's sprawled out, and you can tell she's a kind of a ginger, kind of something. It's blonde down there too. I'm just letting
this
you know.
Is what he's looking at.
Just letting you know.
I'm looking like a pretty eye.
Well, she's sprawled out.
Did you see Hill's face the whole time? He's just like,
he's got an almighty plan, and his dream has come true.
Right.
He cares nothing that his head's off.
Yeah.
What's
he going to accomplish?
Right. He doesn't care about none of that. He just wants to get to her.
Yep.
And he ties her down.
Yes, and the body is just molesting the poor girl. It's just the hand. I mean,
The body comes
this
over.
This poor actress had to lay there, and some guy's hands just.
And, you know, and that's not
you
even
gotta
the sickest
part. Somehow.
That's not even the sickest part.
No.
The body picks up the head in the pan, brings it out, brings it to Meg's face, and she's trying to push it away, and he's just, his tongue's coming out, licking her cheek.
Oh.
It goes down as she's pushing away, licking her breast and stuff like that.
Yep.
I'm trying to stay rated, you know, PG here.
He's just schmomicking all over, going
and
down.
And he works his way down to her private area. Yeah. You know, which is just so disturbing in itself, this headless. You know, and they're showing it just going close to it.
Right.
And I think that's when
because Herbert went after Dan, found him kind of unconscious, got him up.
Yeah.
And they make their way back to the school. And I love it. Right at that pivotal moment when he's going to dive in.
Yeah.
When the head is going to kind of dive in.
To the
and he's just like, oh, you know, he catches him. Dr. Hill. You know, all this for a little co-ed.
Right.
You know, you're not even a second-rate doctor.
Exactly. I mean, this is what he's doing with the reagent. I mean,
right.
Like I said, he doesn't care about his head, nothing. This is all he wants to do. And how much enjoyment he's getting out of it, being headless and the body, how much is he feeling, really?
I don't know. Weird.
But, then this is where chaos breaks.
All hell
breaks loose.
Because
the body's...
Yeah, he'll say, you know, I'm glad you're here because it saves me the trouble to have to send for you.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, Herbert's like, you know, I have a plan. And Dr. Hill's like, yeah, so have I.
Mm-hmm.
And what we've found is that from him lobotomizing all these bodies, that we didn't see him do, but with that laser drill, he has, basically, he can affect mind control on them from that. He can make them do what he wants. So all those bodies that were in the morgue all just pop up.
Yes.
And it's just a huge fight. Because, you know, when these reanimated people, they're strong. They're stronger than regular people.
Yeah.
And some of the makeup's real good. Like, there's one that's, like, all chewed up.
Yeah.
The makeup's really good on that one.
Very, very gory. Very bloody.
And
I keep pointing it out. But,
yeah. Dan's fighting, getting his butt whooped.
Yeah.
You know, he manages to get a shirt on Meg. And the other bodies...
It's a shame that he did, but, you know.
Oh, that's all right. Yeah, you get to see the face.
Right.
Cool. I'm trying to be a gentleman in case she's watching. And they pick up Wes, put him on the table, and he's going to lobotomize him. They got that drill out there, or the laser.
Laser, yes.
And, you know, this is where she and her father kind of, you know, she gets to him. You know,
Dad, stop.
And that's where he goes and stops the Dr. Hill's body from the... using the laser drill. I can't keep screwing that up.
Laser drill. Yeah.
But so Herbert is saved.
Yeah.
For now. And,
the scene's just going on. They're flinging the tables around.
Yeah, really, it's like
keep them away and stuff like that. Security guard comes back, sees what's going on.
And they don't
pick
the most beautiful people to be these bodies.
Oh, no.
I mean, there's some
real ugly
chubbies, you know, like the old ladies. I don't know where they found these people.
Oh, yeah.
But, I mean, yeah, the chaos ensues. Dean Halsey picks up Dr. Hill's head and just
smashes
destroys it. Which kind of just screws up how this comes back in the next movie. Because they made two sequels to
Reanimator. Right.
I'm not really a fan of either of them. I've watched them all. There's some things about Bride of Reanimator that I like, but really, the way that this movie ends, it doesn't explain, like, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess I'll get to that in a second.
Okay.
But yeah, he squashes it, again, just throws it splat on the wall. And then Herbert's got his plan, you know, like he pulls out two syringes full, and it's like, overdose! And just, right into Hill's body. And I think the idea is, you know, get him first.
Yeah.
And Dean Halsey. I love the security guard. He's kind of watching us. Oh, my God!
Oh, yeah.
And,
just watching.
Yeah, he's taking off. So, he overdoses Hill's body.
Mm-hmm.
And then, I don't know how this happens, but all these intestines start bursting out of his torso, wrapping around.
Very odd, yeah.
Yeah, and I think these were, like, cow intestines or something. I think they use, like, real intestines.
Oh, man.
Like, even in Day of the Dead, we were talking about it for a moment.
Yeah.
The part where the one military guy where they rip him apart. I don't know if you remember.
Oh, yeah.
Those are real, like, Cal organs.
Right.
And what I remember...
He falls from the ceiling down to the ground, and they all start tearing him apart.
And I remember them saying that, like, you know, they were done shooting for, like, a weekend or something like that. And those... The refrigeration went out.
Oh,
and they didn't have time
no.
to get more. So those were all stinky, smelly
Ooh.
Parts. This is Day of the Dead. And
yeah.
when they pulled that apart, it was just like...
Oh, my
so
God.
I guess you just don't realize sometimes what some of these actors have to go through.
Oh, yeah, man.
But, so, yeah, the intestines are grabbing Herbert. They end up, like, pulling him into the wall.
Yeah.
Must
have been the overdose of reagent. I don't know.
And the other reanimated bodies come after the Dean Halsey, and you don't see it real clearly. It's kind of like in the shadows. They just tear him limb from limb.
Yes.
Herbert's last thing that he's able to do is take his bag with his notes and reagent and throw it at Dan because he knows, you know, he's not going to make it.
Right.
So Dan and
he
Meg...
He wants his work to live on.
Dan and Meg make their way to the elevator, but there's still one...
Nicka guy jumping
all
over
him. Yeah, one Nicka guy getting all over him. And as they're trying to get in the elevator, his hand, you know, grabs Meg, and it's not letting go.
Right.
And he can't get it loose, so he ends up, what's he go, grabs an axe, fire,
yeah.
fighting axe.
Yes.
And chops the hand off.
Mm-hmm.
And she's Enough. Dead. You
yeah.
know, she's got no vital signs. She's gone.
Right.
And we pretty much, you know, the whole
kinda
hospital
ends.
Is like in chaos because of all the... electrical explosions
right.
down in the basement, so everyone's running around.
Yes.
No one's paying attention. He lays her on a hospital bed.
Kind of ends the way it begins, in a way.
Yeah, yeah.
Because she's on the table, he's trying to bring her back to life, which
right.
he couldn't do.
And then he gets the idea.
Yeah.
And I love how he takes the reagent, draws it up, puts it in the neck, and then the screen goes dark.
Yeah.
Except for the syringe, and you see the, you know, the green syringe, and you just see it go...
Yeah,
you know it's in there, and I think you just hear a scream.
Yep,
and
that's
and,
it,
and it's over.
That's it,
and it's over.
Yep,
and that's the end of Reanimator. You know, Herbert West taken away, Dean Halsey torn
yep.
to pieces. But see, then you get like Bride of Reanimator, and when that movie starts, he and Dan are like in South America somewhere, continuing their work. It doesn't explain how he got back from that. Barbara Crampton's not in it, and. There's some cool things in it, but I don't really care.
Yeah.
I'd rather just...
Yeah, I've never seen the sequel, so...
And Beyond Reanimator's nothing to watch, anyway. Again, the only thing to watch him for is Jeffrey Combs. Just that... I don't want to say overacting, but the way he plays this character, I mean, his enunciations and stuff are
right.
really great, but... So why you give it a C, I guess?
I don't know. I guess it was just, I don't know. I thought it was a little bit more... Don't get me wrong. There were some great scenes and great action scenes and stuff in there, but maybe a little more drawn out in areas than others. I'm not saying dramatic, but just there were more lengthy dramatic pauses between the action scenes.
Mm-hmm.
That's about it. You know, like I said, I mean...
A-plus.
C-plus.
But see, that's why we do this. We're like Ebert and Roper.
Yeah.
It's still Ebert, because we're older.
And I know you like these kind of movies. So, I mean, you know, whereas, you know...
This is about as gory as I like to get. You know,
right.
I like this. You know, it's blatantly fake, but it's fun.
Right.
And I think, you know, there's...
Might be a little bit of the gory, bloody part that kind of throws me off a bit, too.
It's fun when it needs to be funny. It's gory when it needs to be gory.
A-plus cat scene.
Oh, yeah.
A-plus the whole chopping off of the guy's head, putting it in the pan.
That is
I mean, you can't get better than that.
Good
I mean,
casting.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a low-budget movie.
Right.
And, you know, I guess it just goes to show for less than $1 million, here's what you make.
Yep.
And if you get lucky and all the pieces come together, you get something really, you know, you get a good soup.
Yes.
And, yeah, it's not for everybody. I'm a big Lovecraft fan, and I know some Lovecraft fans don't like these. I'm still waiting for, like, an ultimate adaptation of one of his stories that's really good.
Yeah.
There's a handful.
It'd be nice
there's
to
some.
Have a newer version of some of his stories come to life.
Yeah,
I mean,
this one's very modernized. I mean, you know, when they did the writing process, you know, they modernized it. So it's like, you know, the essence is kind of there of what the story is about. I don't know if H.P. Lovecraft would have liked this version
right.
of his story.
I would say if, the, you know, we've always talked about sequels, just, or, mm-hmm. I mean, remakes, just not being as good as the original, but this might be one I think I would like them to remake.
And like I said, you know, I don't consider it so much a remake when it's based on something that's written. You know, so it's just another
do a whole new take on it.
Another version. Just like you got, you know, Let the Right One In and Let Me In. Yes. I like them both. It's hard to pick one because they both have things about them that are so cool.
Right.
But they're both based on the same book, and you can always go back to the book, which is ultimately better and has a lot more detail in it. So,
which is with a lot of books, because your imagination can wrap itself around that story and make it work in your head.
Right. But I always point that out, like when people talk about remakes. You know, if it's a remake of something that was an original movie, say like Nightmare on Elm Street.
Yeah.
You know, there was no reason to mess with that. You know, that movie was just fine the way it was.
Yeah.
But then we mentioned something like Let the Right One In or something. There's things about each of those that I like individually to those movies. That, you know, I wish I could like pick and choose, put them both together and make one really cool movie that I really like, because there's details in each one that isn't in the other.
And, well, that's what happens with like the book. If you read the book and you see two different versions of the same movie, you know, it may, you know, you get your own take on it.
I guess the only, I mean, originally when they did this movie, they were kind of hoping to do like maybe, it was a little bit too strong for PBS, but I guess, you know, some channels were looking for like hour-long, like serial show, horror.
Okay.
And this was originally going to be like a five-part story, and it was going to be a little bit more closely based on the original story, and I guess that's the only thing you could really do, you know, go back to the original story and just make it gothic and and misty like an old Hammer movie and you know, do it like that. But Lovecraft's very difficult to adapt. The H.P. Lovecraft Historical Society, they do like some short films. They've done, excuse me.
This guy's a mess today!
I know. They've done a silent movie version of The Call of Cthulhu, which is really cool. It's got like a stop motion creature at the end.
Yeah, you told me about that stuff. And I haven't been able to get to watch it.
It's only like an hour long, too. It's fantastic. And they did one of The Whisper in the Darkness, which is... And they stay pretty true to what it's about.
Yeah.
So you can't go wrong with anything that they put out. But this is just a movie I really like. I've always liked it.
Cool.
One of my favorite horror movies. And I don't know what we're going to touch on next week. We kind of had it mapped out to here. And after today, I don't know what we're going to do yet.
So I have an idea. I'll tell you.
All right.
So we'll see. Did you see this... The previews on AMC of Fear the Walking Dead yet?
I know it's coming out.
I know you got to catch up on The Walking Dead, but
someday.
Oh my God, Ted, Fear the Walking Dead, the newest preview that just came out.
Zombies walking around.
Well, it's somewhat of a prequel to The Walking Dead, like what happened right as it broke out and everything. But the preview just showed the guy's just running through the streets and out through the building and down the street. That scene alone, that preview, man, I cannot wait.
You're a big fan of it.
Holy Moses!
I just don't know if I can watch zombies like week after week after week.
Ted,
and I know it's about more than that.
Oh, the characters. No,
I'll watch.
There's seasons where you don't get much of the zombies. Because it's character driven,
right? And how
that's the thing that people got to get out of their head, I think, a little bit is zombie. Oh my God! Like even my wife says, zombie horror movie. Oh, I don't like that. It's not about that.
Right.
It's about,
I figure it's about, you know, the breakdown of society.
Exactly.
And a small group of people together.
Yes.
What you have to go through to survive.
Right. Right.
I will eventually watch it. I'm bad with TV shows. I'm bad.
No. It takes him a while. 6 years from now, he'll go, I just finished it this season. It was the best thing ever.
I've done it with Lost. I've done it with Game of Thrones. And then when I'm in it, it's like, I binge watch. Like,
right. Which is fine. Which is good.
I got through 4 seasons of Game of Thrones in like 2 weeks. So, cool. And then I'm busy. I'm a dad. I work. I got a wife. And, you know, it's hard for me to squeeze in TV. Yeah. So.
But I will. Okay. Well, yeah. Well, there's another one in the books, man.
I hope you guys like this movie.
Yeah.
And we'll I think we're going to stay on schedule. We're a couple days late this week. Sorry.
Yep. Stuff came up. So.
But we'll be back Monday.
Yep. Monday night. And.
It was his fault.
Anyways,
I was ready to go.
That's all right.
No, life happens.
Gave you time to catch up on the other ones if you haven't seen them.
That's right.
Hey, go back and check them out, man.
Yeah, and if you haven't seen those movies, watch those movies, listen to our thoughts on them. We also
like you said,
I
wish we could have got the video rolling at the very first show, but we just didn't, you know.
But we only did a few. We did, was it three?
Might have been three, four.
Three, I don't know, Lost Souls. We did a couple of Hammer movies.
Yeah.
What about
Dracula, Bride of Dracula?
And maybe the Mantan Moreland movies. I don't know if we were on video for that.
Right, I think that was the last one, and then we went to video. So
watch those Mantan Moreland movies.
Oh, heck yeah. but man, go back, and please, give us some feedback on iTunes, if you would. And feel free to comment on the YouTube videos, too, if you're watching it.
Mm-hmm.
We want to hear from you guys, so let us know, man, and go to our main site. So, anyways, that's it for this week, man. And next week we'll have another good one for you. So,
my group.
Yep. Peace out.